In this episode, we're sharing with you three show notes mistakes that are secretly losing you podcast listeners and you should avoid at all costs.
Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast.
Hello, I'm Ty Gauchet.
And I'm Anthony Wineri.
And in this episode, you'll discover the three fatal show notes mistakes that stops listeners from pressing play on your show.
What a failed student experiment taught us about writing irresistible show notes.
And a simple, repeatable framework for writing show notes that build desire and drive downloads.
Welcome back to another Thursday episode where we share stories, break down marketing principles, and give you actionable strategies to help you grow and monetize your podcast way faster.
Look, after auditing in great detail, meaning listening critically to episodes, reading over all the copy, all the show notes, for over 300 podcasts, we found many mistakes that we see repeatedly. And we found three mistakes specific to podcast show notes, your episode descriptions, that are actively slowing down podcast growth and an ability to monetize that you might not even be aware of. And today we're revealing all three so you can avoid them and really start growing your podcast as fast as possible.
So I think the best way to really explain this mistake is by sharing a story that's known as the Fail Blurb Experiment.
Oh, a classic famous title.
Of course. So look, there was once a marketing professor and he had these three incredible students that he wanted to challenge to figure out, hey, who's the best at marketing? And he challenged them with this proposition. Hey, I want you guys to create the perfect blurb for my upcoming book on psychology. And each student, it was awesome, right? Because each student would basically get their own aisle and have their books displayed in a bookstore.
Wow.
And after 30 days, at the end of the month, they would essentially measure, hey, which version of the blurbs sold the most copies. Now, what's interesting about this is the students approach things totally different ways, like different strategies. So student number one, known as Marco, thought to himself, well, you know, blurbs are just an afterthought. Like, oh, I didn't read blurbs. Like, do people read blurbs? I don't think people read blurbs. And he reasoned to himself that, you know what? I can just write a single line that says a must-read book on psychology by now. In his mind, he thought, well, why waste time on this area when the actual book name and author name will do all the selling for him? Student number two.
Let's call him Fernando.
Well, Fernando believed that credentials were everything. You know, he's got this professor who's a big boy, as you would like to say. He's huge. He's done amazing things. So he thought, you know, I'm going to fill the blurb with his background, his story, his degree, all of his achievements, his previous publication, in order to show the buyers and customers why it's worth their time, in order to convince them that it's worth their money.
Well, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Right. And then finally, student number three.
Let's call her Mariah.
Girl like Mariah Carey. Well, student number three, again, had a totally different approach. She took the time to actually go through the book. She went through every single chapter and thought, wow, oh my God, there's so much valuable stuff in here. So in the blurb, I'm going to add all the concepts, all the lessons, all the takeaways. I'm going to front load the blurb with so much valuable information. Tell them everything they're going to learn about the book, and surely the more people who see the value, the more they'll want to buy. So that's what she did. So the month goes by and the professor gathers his students, sits them down and reveals the results. It was shocking, actually.
My money's on Fernando.
I like Fernando.
Okay.
Sorry, Mariah. It's a bit of an L there. But anyways, he lets off this final blow, which is, hey, by the way, guys, like, none of you sold anything across all three books. Across all three displays, there was approximately zero copies sold. Now, of course, the students in disbelief were like, no way, that's impossible. So they requested to see the store's security footage. They ran to the store, went to the back office, and started playing the footage. They wanted to see what was going on with their eyes. And when they did, they found something super interesting, right? Student number one, his display, customers would walk up to the book. They would actually get excited, pick it up, turn it around to read the blurb, and then immediately put it down.
Okay.
They would then walk to another book across them, which was a competitor's, and pick that book up on psychology walk to the till and make a purchase.
Killer.
I know. Then student number two at his display.
Fernando?
Student number two, Fernando, at his display, people would spend more time reading about the credentials and they were nodding along. They seemed apparently interested and happy. But then soon after, they kind of placed the book down, went to the aisle across, picked up the competitor's book on psychology, looked, smiled, walked to the counter and make their purchase.
Damn, that's killer.
And then student number three, gal like Mariah, right? Something interesting happened here. Customers acted in one or two ways. Customers would either pick up the book and immediately put it down in horror, or they began reading for about 5 to 10 minutes and kind of nodded their head, squinted their eyes, put the book down, and once again, like clockwork, went to the competitor's book, picked it up, had a smile on their face, and without hesitation, paid for the book.
Ouch.
Now, of course, the students, they were super curious. They were like, how aren't we making any sales across any of this book? This doesn't make any sense. So they decided, you know what? They come up with a brilliant idea. Let's go and let's find and ask each customer, why didn't they make a purchase? So that's what they did. They found each of the customers and they asked them these questions. They said, hey, look, why didn't you buy the book? Now, for student number one's aisle and store display, the customers just mentioned, hey, look, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, there was no real information. It just told me to buy the book without telling me why I should buy the book, so I didn't. And then for customers who looked at Fernando, student number two's display, they kind of just shrugged and were like, look, the professor sounded super impressive. He sounded great. Like, he honestly sounded fantastic. I love learning about him. But again, I couldn't really tell what was in it for me. Like, great, he's done all these things, but why should I care? What's the benefit for me?
Okay, makes sense.
And then finally, student number three, the customers said to Mariah, hey, look, it just looked super valuable to begin with, but it felt a bit overwhelming. It was almost too comprehensive. And I'm not going to lie, I felt I was going to learn a shit ton, but I didn't quite know exactly what I was going to learn and why I needed it specifically.
Hmm.
So at the end of this, the students asked the customers a very simple question. Well, why the hell did you go to the competitor's book and buy that instead? And the customers looked at them, had a smile on their face, smirked, and just said, well, it's obvious. If you go and read the blurb, you see it's very clear. So the students, eager, they kind of turn around, rushed into the bookstore, and there they found their professor. Now he's sitting down with a book in his hand, and it's not his own. It's his competitor's. And with a smile on his face, he looks at them and says, look, guys, it's clear why he beat you. He turns the book around and he shows them the blurb. And instantly, they understood why their books weren't selling and why the competitors were selling like hotcakes. The winning blurb that he looked at had three key elements.
Okay. What are they?
The first was, it was clearly designed with care and intention. It wasn't an afterthought. It was as if the creator and the writer knew people would be picking up the book and reading the blurb. It was treated with care. The second thing was that it was focused entirely on what readers would gain, with barely information, zero information about the author themselves. It was entirely focused on what the reader would gain.
You suck, Fernando.
And finally, it said just enough valuable information to create interest and desire without overwhelming or giving away everything. It was, again, very precise.
You failed, Mariah.
The blurb wasn't long, it was just precise. And after reading the blurb, all three students and the professor looked at each other, smiled, walked to the cash register, put out their cash, and made their purchase. Now it's like, our listeners might be thinking, what an epic story. Fernando, I love Fernando. They might be thinking, Mariah, how did you screw that up majorly? And by the way, Marco, come on, bro. How'd you mess it up?
Fell at the first hurdle.
So look, why are we sharing this?
Well, we're sharing this because there's a very strong correlation, which hopefully you're starting to make as you heard Anthony's story, between a book blurb and your podcast show notes. They're not an afterthought. They're one of the main things potential listeners see before deciding whether to press play, and often they're the deciding factor. Really, after your episode title, they are the other thing that people use to consider.
But most people think that people don't read the episode title. Sorry, people think like, okay, if I have an episode title, that'll do most of the selling. But that's just, again, a portion of your audience will go to the show notes. I don't read show notes personally.
Yeah, well, I do. And that's
funny, isn't it?
Like, that's right? Funny because I just read a lot of things. Like, I like read YouTube comments that you don't and stuff like that, right? And so that brings us to one of the mistakes that a lot of people make with show notes, which is, you know, just not recognizing that people do read them, firstly. So it's a big opportunity. But the second one, and this is an absolute killer, this is the most common one, I think, but just not focusing on what's in it for the listener, not the guest's impressive background, because everyone's got an impressive background that's going on a podcast for the most part. Like, you know, if it's a decent podcast that is aiming to interview credible people, everyone's going to be credible. And there's like tens of thousands of those podcasts out there. So although it makes logical sense and you do want to show those things off, it actually ends up a race to the bottom in today's podcasting climate and competitive landscape. But instead, if you just focus on what's in it for the listener, you rise to the top very, very quickly. And then lastly, sharing just enough valuable content to build interest and a desire to follow through and hear the whole thing. You know, giving people a juicy taste that makes the listening feel necessary rather than optional.
Rather than giving them an entire platter and they've consumed all this content and they basically know everything about the episode. So
yeah,
why would they click play and listen?
Yeah, or it's just too much to look at and then they can put them off as well.
So I think it's really important to kind of have this distinction and understanding of what is the function of my show notes. Most think it's this heavy information-based thing where they document a bunch of stuff, not recognizing that actually if a percentage of my audience, new or old, are going to my show notes, how do I craft the show notes in a way that turns a total stranger or a current listener into an actual listener for the episode? How do I sell the actual episode to them and show them why they can't afford not to listen? Can you see how approaching your show notes in this way will turn way more strangers into active podcast listeners of your show? So look, if you're pouring your heart into podcasting, but your episode downloads aren't growing, or you're wondering why new listeners aren't sticking around, it might be, just maybe, that your show notes aren't doing enough selling. Now look, you probably don't have the time to sit there and try to craft the perfect show notes. And look, neither do we or our clients. And that's why we created a free AI show notes prompt that practically writes your show notes for you in just a matter of seconds. It helps you avoid the three biggest mistakes we've revealed in this episode and also follows a simple and proven framework to hook your listeners and to drive way more downloads for your show. So if you want to grab a copy of this prompt, go to the show notes and click the first link that you see, or visit getmorelisteners.com/show notes. Again, that's getmorelisteners.com/show notes and grab your prompt straight away. With that being said, I'll catch you in the next episode.